Well, I hope you guys are doing all right tonight. You know, it was one of those days that you could tell there was like a little, kind of downness. And the Lord is a lifter of our spirits, a lifter of our head, the giver of new life and all good things. And so I know sometimes when I see that, you know, because I was doing something really exciting today. I mean, just scintillating. I was gathering documents and paperwork for my accountant. Always sure to give you just a lovely outlook on life, you know what I'm saying? You're praising God. But the truth of the matter is, we can praise God through all things. And there was a, I was out praying earlier, wondering what the Lord might have me preach on tonight. And basically he wants me to talk about finances, which is something I've had my head in a lot over the last period of time. And I wanted to talk about finances because we've been talking a lot about love. We've talking about a lot of love of one another and love of God. And in that, there's nothing like finances to show where we're at. And one of the things I've realized here in the fellowship over the years is that for many, 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 many years in this fellowship, there have been a small number of us who've really kind of known what was going on financially. And there's been a large number who have kind of a general vague idea, maybe, kind of. And it's something I'm going to change. The reason why I'm going to change it is because to not change it is going to, gosh, there's a major hum in here. Yeah, why don't we turn this one off? Hang on a second. That's not it. Something sounds like it's about ready to explode all over me back here. But what I was saying is this, is that, see, we've been talking about this Joshua age. We've been talking about how the thing about the Joshua age is the body stands up, each member taking its place, each member supplying that which God has given them to supply. And in order for that to happen, I got to make you guys aware of stuff. So, I want to turn for a moment to Acts chapter 4. We're going to go around a few different places here tonight. In Acts chapter 4, I'm going to pick up from verse 29. What's happened in chapter 4 up to this point is that Peter and John had been brought before the council for a number of different things. Most recently for healing the guy at the gate called Beautiful, I believe it is. And then they prohibit him from speaking, and they went on speaking. And so in 29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And I wanted to stop right there for a moment. We see here in the early church, when it was experiencing persecution and different things as they started out, it made them emboldened. It made them more determined, period. And when they did that and they prayed and they asked, I mean, a very simple prayer, right, that the Lord would give them, grant unto thy servants, this is verse 29, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Isn't that what we want? With all boldness to speak his word? And it goes on, and they says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. See, it's the power of God which is confirming his word, just like when Jesus was here, that makes plain to everyone whose word it is. And everybody's sights are lifted. Everybody's sights are lifted as to what's possible. Everybody's sights. Brother Davey used to talk about, and I know today was his 70th birthday, if he'd been among us. Brother Davey talked one time, he was down in Port Arthur, Texas, and he was preaching, and there was one night in particular where it was very mighty, and the people had brought this old minister who had been suffered a stroke and was kind of paralyzed to the tent that night. This was a minister that they loved abundantly, and that minister, when he got prayed for to be healed, he was immediately healed and was able to leap up with joy and dance, and then everybody came forward. Now, this is an old minister, not a young minister, an old minister who had come up and been healed at that late age. And with him, then many were healed. And so I share this with you because obviously we need this. But you also see as we go down, and I want to lift this up as well, you know, and they prayed, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed. Now, I wanted to hit on that because, first of all, that was everybody filled with boldness. Everybody filled with the boldness. See, I want to see this come to pass. I want to see this building and buildings across this nation shake, just like we read about it here. And let me tell you something. It can and will happen. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, watch that, and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. So if you notice, it doesn't mean he didn't stop possessing it. But he didn't consider that which he had as being his anymore. He was done with that life. Now that which he had was the Lord's and could be used however it was going to serve the Lord. That's what it is to have all things common, folks. The things you have, you consider the Lord's. You've dedicated everything you have. Isn't that what we do? We give up our whole life. If we give up our whole life, then what is it that we have that we don't consider his? I mean, where did we get it? You follow what I'm saying? Where did we get it to begin with? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let me say that again. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every good thing we have comes from him and is a part of his provision for us. So what is it then that we share it? And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And that witness of the resurrection is the resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power they were walking in and manifesting to the people. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Now, before everybody thinks what this is saying is that everybody has to go and sell everybody's house and we all have to become homeless, just so you know, you'll read throughout the book of Acts where are they meeting? Where are they meeting? Oh my God, they're meeting in houses. Well, wait a second. If they sold all their houses, were they the only place they could meet after that was outside or in the temple, right? If they let them. So look, it's not saying that everybody who has a house has to go out and sell it. But what it is saying here is that if everything you have, if you don't consider it to be your own, and if the Lord would have you sell that thing and use those and give those funds to him or to somebody else, praise God, do it. Praise God, do it. You know, it's free now. You are now free. You're not holding on to things. What you're holding on to is him. And they lacked for nothing. And so when they sold these things, they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. All right. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. But as you're going there, I'm going to talk about something here. The Lord very clearly, and I think pretty much just about everybody who's listening to this will know this, the Lord lays out three types of giving. Tithes. Tithes are easy. Even my children are learning how to figure out their tithes, even though they're young. It's 10%. It's 10% of your increase, period, your increase. Not of that which you have, but of your increase. If you have nothing, I mean, if you have no increase, you have no tithe. If you have an increase, like while Robin gets laughs at me sometimes, and people laugh because we have deposits into the account of 1 cent and 2 cents when my children find loose change out here in the desert. But that's all right, because that's their tithe and their offering off of that. And that's what he doesn't ask them. If they found 10 cents, their tithe is a penny. If they want to give more, they can give more. It's not about how much, but it is of every single person. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how much need you have. I don't care about any of that. You know why? Because if you won't tithe, don't tell me you have faith in God. Don't tell me you have faith in God. Most people, you know, one of the things you'll find is that many places where it is common that people do not tithe, it is also common that the people are in poverty continuously. It was funny. I was talking with somebody not so long ago. People forget, you know, because we look at our nation. It's a rich nation. Okay. And not so rich anymore, but it's still richer than many nations. But, you know, when our forefathers arrived on these shores, you're hard-pressed to find one of them who was rich. They most of them, like when the pilgrims got here, they had nothing. They had nothing. But you know what they did? They had faith in God. And because they had faith in God, they gave God his portion. Didn't matter if they were wondering whether they were going to eat. Didn't matter whether they were wondering how they were going to pay their bills. Didn't matter if they were wondering about anything, because he came first. And God blessed them. And he kept them. And he protected them. And he multiplied things back to them. And the tithe of all good things goes to his ministers, to support his ministers. Doesn't go to support the church building. Doesn't go to support the musical instruments. Doesn't go to support any of those things. It goes to support your minister. That's who it goes to. If you have a problem with that, tough. Because that's the truth. There's no way around it. God doesn't change his rules for you. Offerings. Offerings are the things that now go for all these other things. For example, we've got lots of musical instruments up here. We got a PA system. We got a building to worship in. You know what all of those things were? Offerings. That's what they were. They were offerings. You can also give offerings to people, like to your minister and everything, that can be for the minister as well. It's an offering. Then there's alms, and I really wanted to hit on alms for a moment. Because alms are what you give to meet people's needs. You see somebody who's in need of something, and you minister to that need. That's what it is. Alms are for the poor, and they store you up treasure in heaven. Now, I wanted to bring that one up because, see, one of the elements about a body and about that Joshua age ministry is we're one. So if one member of the body is lacking, Just like when one part of your natural body is not doing so well, do you know it? Do you take care of it? Do you think about it? Does it become important to you to take care of that situation, whatever it was, on your body that's not doing so well? Well, then why don't you have the same attitude towards your brother or sister in Christ? Ooh. See, this is where we get the opportunity to exercise ourselves in love, is in our alms. Now, the reason why I wanted to turn here to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 1 here kind of quickly. And he says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." Yes. 2 Chronicles. So, excuse me, 2 Corinthians. Do you guys go to Chronicles? Yeah. Have I been saying Chronicles? Have I been saying Chronicles? Yeah. You know, I said it to myself too, but thankfully I knew what I meant, which was Corinthians. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah, it definitely doesn't look right. Yeah, we're going to the New Testament. Sorry about that. So, 2 Corinthians, sorry about that, chapter 9. "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me," Abigail, quiet, "for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So the giving nature of the Corinthians here is provoking others. "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready." So he's been boasting of them, but now he's sent somebody there to collect. And he's hoping that his boasting, which he's been giving, will prove to have been true. "Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." See, Paul does not covet what they have. I mean, he doesn't covet what they have. And you're going to see this in a moment. "But this I say," watch this, "he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according he has as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you give your tithe out of begrudgingly, don't even give it. Don't bother. Don't bother." I thought it was interesting. Lawrence was talking to a guy over in Ghana recently, and this man had not tithed in a long time, and Lawrence was talking to him. He was dealing with one of these things because the man, he can't keep up with these bills. He's always trying to run around and find work. He's always trying to do these things. He's going to have to move out of his house. He's got all these problems continuously. Of course, when you're having all these problems continuously, can you tithe? Yes, you can. That's why the problem is that you don't think you can. That's the problem. You don't think you can. Jeannie is a perfect example. If you ever want to know anybody who's a faithful tither who has done everything in her power to make it so that she could not provide for herself and yet miraculously for like almost 20 years now is always taken care of, it is Jeannie. It's an amazing thing. It really is. For anybody who ever wants to think you don't have enough to tithe, just look at Jeannie. She's got less than all of you guys and has tithed than she's always taken care of. Always. Just an amazing thing. All right. But he said to this man, because he was telling him these things, and the man then said, "Look, I have my tithe here." He said, are you giving me that because of what I've been saying to you here tonight? Or did you actually, think before you came that you were going to give the tithe? He said, "No, I had determined before I came I was going to give my tithe." He said, "Are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure." All right, so he prayed over his tithe. See, that's the thing, is that if you don't tithe, when people don't tithe in this ministry, does somebody chase you down? "Where's your tithe? Didn't you get paid last week? What happened? Where's your tithe? Does anybody do that?
No.
Absolutely not. Does anybody count whether you calculated your tithe correctly? And what I mean from the standpoint of like coveting, where you say, well, wait a second. I know he worked. He makes $12.50 an hour, and he worked 8 hours yesterday. It means he made $100, but he only gave me $7.50. Is he calculating his tithe based on what he gets after the government takes their portion? Now, see, I might notice such a thing, and I might talk to my brother about it. You know why? Because I want him to get. I don't want to go around and take his money and have him not get the blessing God intends for him. You know what I'm saying? So I might talk to him if I think he doesn't understand the way the tithe works. God comes before the government, folks. He comes before the government. That's how it works. He didn't come after. He comes before. If you want to put the government before God, have at it. You've just identified your God, and you can't serve two masters. You're serving the wrong one. If you're serving the Lord, you give your tithe like you're supposed to, 10% of what you earn, even if part goes to your 401k, part goes to your IRA, part goes to your health insurance, part goes to this, part goes to that, part goes to the other thing. So what? If you made $100, your tithe's $10. If you only have $25 after it because it's going every which way, well, pray God multiply that $25 and make it suffice for everything you have need of. Because the fact of the matter is that's exactly what it'll do. If you'll trust him and you'll give cheerfully. See, when you don't give cheerfully, you know what it's about? It's like you're paying God off. It's like you're buying an indulgence, you know, like the Catholic Church sells. I give you this money and therefore I get blessings, God. No. No, 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 no. If you believe God, you're thankful and you are grateful and you desire, your desire becomes to do what he would have you do. Wasn't that what we were reading about over there in Acts chapter 4? Their desire was to do what he would have them do, even if it meant imprisonment and death and every other thing. Right? And his followers, remember Peter, what did they say? What, Lord, we've forsaken everything. We've forsaken houses and wives and children and brothers and sisters and everybody. And he said, yep, that you have. You absolutely have. And you shall be rewarded 100-fold in this life and have eternal life. Where's your heart? Scripture says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this thing about being a cheerful giver, do not give, do not do anything unless you want to. Do it because you want to. If you don't want to, and you realize you ought to want to, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I really don't want to, but I want to. Help me. Now, bless you. I want to turn over here to Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, and thankfully Luke doesn't make me think of any other book in the Bible but Luke, so I happen to be on the right chapter, and you too. Here we have a story. I'll begin it back here in verse 13. I love this. This is just how we are. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Not going to happen. What did we just talk about people of their own free will choosing to do things? You got your eyes on that inheritance. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. Think of how many people, and I deal with inheritance as an attorney, how many people are just furious with their siblings over the fact that their siblings aren't fair in giving up their dividing the inheritance, or they think they're stealing the inheritance, or they think all of these different things. Because they got their eye on the inheritance. They want the money. They covet it. That's what this guy's coming. Think you're going to come with that kind of attitude, and the Lord's going to go, oh, yes, bring your brother. I will make sure he does that. He's not going to withhold any of that inheritance from you. Yet that's how people are. It's amazing. So he goes, And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And that's an important point. Just stop and think about that for a moment. Think of how much time, energy, and everything else you spend looking at things that you want and trying to dream up and figure out ways to get it. Joseph. I was talking to you, wasn't I? But if you think about that, how much time you spend on this. It's amazing. And then people want to show off all the different things they've got. Let's go on. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, it's interesting that you'd say that to your soul. Can your soul possess any of those things? Your soul can't possess any of those things, can you? It just shows how his carnally minded the guy is. His soul can't possess any of it. He's about ready to find that out. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So you want to be rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now think of that. I mean, this is the most basic stuff. The most basic stuff. And for most people in the world, that's all they ever have money for to begin with. They don't have money for anything else. I mean, absolutely anything. My wife was pulling a picture of where I lived in Peru years ago and showing a picture of the couple of the children. And I was trying to remember, I don't think there was a toy in the house. There were like seven children or six children in the house, but I don't think there was a toy. You almost never saw a toy in the whole village. 2,000 people. Think of that. Not even one toy. Think of an American child without one toy. Oh, my God, they would be, you know, just in a full-out panic attack. Just, you know, banging everything. I want a toy! Yet I can tell you the children who lived in that place, they were happy children. They used to dance and they'd sing and we'd run out in the field and they'd ride a donkey and they'd go do stuff. They were happy. They had smiles on their face. Didn't have much to eat, which was kind of nasty. Didn't grow real tall, which was kind of nasty. But they were happy people. Those aren't the things that make you happy, folks. And he said, consider, verse 24, the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If then ye be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of, watch that word, doubtful mind. Doubtful mind. See, you know why we aren't liberal in our giving? You know why we don't do these things? It's because we're of doubtful mind. If we give that, how are we going to get this? If we give that, how are we going to take care of that? Isn't that what happens? You know, you're thinking as you're looking at somebody who has need, and you're thinking to yourself, or you know, you have the tithe, and you're looking, and you're like, well, gosh, if I do this, how am I going to get that, or how's that going to work out? That's what happens. That's being of doubtful mind. Did Jesus, when he had 4,000 out there in the middle of nowhere, and they only had a few fishies and a couple pieces of bread? What happened? Did the people go hungry? Did he send them away fasting? No, they didn't. When during the famine, when Elisha was the prophet, and they were out there and he sent the disciples out to gather wild gourds to eat because they didn't have anything. And somebody gathered a bad one and they realized there was death in the pot. Did they all die? Did they all cry to God and go, oh no, what are we going to eat now? No. Elisha put some salt in it and stuff like that, prayed over it, and they ate and they were all fine. When a guy brought first fruits to him, just a small amount, you know, the first fruits to Elisha because he wanted to bless Elisha. He knew he wanted to serve the Lord. He knew that this was the right thing to do, and he comes and brings it. And Elisha's got all these people there, and he gives them. And, you know, the man's thinking, this is going to be good for Elisha for like a month. What does Elisha do? Uses it all up that very day for the people who were there with him. Think of that. See, he wasn't of a doubtful mind. See, when you're of a doubtful mind, you can't do these things. And that's why he says the next thing. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. What kind of Father do you think we have anyways? Do you think we don't have a Father who wants to provide for us and take care of us? I mean, he's a perfect Father. Do I take care of you children? Do I see to it you guys get food to eat? You guys get to eat good food, don't you? Except when it's something you don't like, I understand. But it's all good food, even when you don't like it. You just don't have enough smarts yet to realize that it's good. So we're working with you. We understand you're young and dumb. We got to help you out so you realize these things are good. But he is a perfect Father. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is able to provide for us, like he provided for Elijah, when there was the dearth because of his prayer that it would not rain upon the earth. What did he have? He commanded the ravens to bring him food. And there was a little brook. And when the brook dried up, he commanded a widow woman in another place outside of Israel to provide for him. And the cruse of oil and the bit of meal did not fail. It kept multiplying, not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, but for years until the Lord brought rain back on Israel. See, don't be of a doubtful mind. When you are of a doubtful mind, then you can't give. Now, for all the, he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So where are you supposed to turn your focus? Not heaven, in the sense of the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of God. Isn't that what the disciples were doing over there in Acts chapter 4? When they were praying that the Lord would give them boldness and that he would grant that they would be able, that mighty signs and wonders would be done? Wasn't that them seeking the kingdom of God? Don't we have the song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness? See, His righteousness is that part where you throw off all the works you do and you trust in the work He did. So you stop working. You start believing. And you start following. And seek ye first the kingdom of God is you want that Holy Ghost power to be manifest in your life in every way. So he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. See, this is interesting. We're a little flock, aren't we? And here's Jesus talking to a little flock over there. A little flock. You know why it's important to talk to about a little flock? Is because it's very easy when you're a little flock to think that you're completely insignificant. Here's this great big world out there. Here's this great big temple. Here's these great big synagogues or churches. Here's all these great big people. And who are we? Well, we're children of the Most High God. That's who we are. And we matter to Him, which is better than any other be mattering to anybody here on this earth. There is nobody on this earth that compares to mattering to God. And each of us, if we will believe Him and do as He says, matter to Him. He looks down. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows what we have need of before we ask of Him. He will take care of it. He will. We got problems. People got problems around here? Anybody got a problem? Anybody got a problem? I don't know. I got problems. Anybody else got problems? Or is it just me? Am I like the one who's terribly laden with problems, but the rest of you guys go, me? No problem. I don't know what you're talking about. I got problems. You know what I need for my problems? Some Holy Ghost power. That's what I need. Every single problem I have, I need Holy Ghost power to trump every problem I've got. Isn't that what the guys were praying over there before? Isn't that what the mighty signs and wonders that come down and make clear, and your faith grows and everybody's faith grows because you see the power of God to trump every issue you've got? Isn't that what it's all about? So let's turn our sights up. So watch this. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Think of that. We sit here and act as though the kingdom of God is something that is impossible to find. And that, you know, we got some big admission ticket. We got to go mortgage our homes or something and pay something down. We got to do a whole bunch of different things to get it. What's it say? It is his pleasure. Any parent understands pleasure with respect to a child, don't they? When a child's doing what you want, man, that child gives you pleasure. I'm going to give my children a little add, a boy and girl today. Just a little one. We're going to leave little Abby kind of off because she didn't quite do this, but she gives me some other ones. We gave them a scintillating project to do. They got to write reports. We know how school children love to write reports, don't we? They are just, that is the coolest thing ever. I get to write a report. I'm 8 years old. Yes, yes, yes. But you know what? All of my children really took to their report writing. And they were blessed, and you could see it. They would come to me as they were doing it, and they were excited. "Look, Dad, I wrote 3 pages today." I wrote 3 pages today. That's a cool thing as a dad when your son comes running up to you and says, "Dad, I wrote 3 pages today." That's beautiful. I was very pleased, okay, with that thing. He's saying the same way that gave me pleasure, it gives him pleasure for us to receive the good things of his kingdom, to give us the kingdom, to give it to us. We don't pay for it. It's a free gift, a free gift. A free gift, folks. That's what it is. So let's go on just a little farther. "Sell that ye have and give alms." Watch that. "Sell that ye have and give alms. Sell that ye have and give alms. Sell that ye have and give alms." Wait a second. Did I say that already? "Sell that again and give." Sell that. Well, I messed it up there. I wasn't reading at that time. "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, folks, I shared this and I hit the focus button there on alms. We have in this ministry, most people, if not everybody, are pretty faithful tithers. That is an awesome thing. There aren't a lot of fellowships where people can say that. And that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let me just tell you, that is well-pleasing to the Lord. And he is. I mean, if you look out here in this desert is nothing short of a miracle, what has happened out here in this desert. It is indeed nothing short of a miracle, really. I mean, people come out here and see this chapel. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like the Crystal Cathedral or something like that, thank God. But it's nice. This is a nice chapel. It's nicely set up. We can broadcast out here in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I mean, people come out here, and we had a fair number of them. I think people's eyes get kind of big, like, wow. And we go over, we have a nice camp kitchen, don't we? It's comfortable, it's cozy. We get to hang out and eat, and we have good food, and we have these different things. We have nice places to stay. Well, some people's places are construction zones, but their place is about ready to become very nice, praise God. We've got fruit trees we're planting. We've got a garden down there. We've got all kinds of stuff here. We've got a well. I mean, the Lord has mightily blessed us. Much of that has been through offerings of people. So we actually are a fellowship that, in addition to giving tithes, has often give offerings. Now, I don't want to give you guys too big of an attaboy or girl or woman or man. But I don't want to give you too big of an attaboy or attagirl that way. Because the truth is that I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we've been far more doubtful, haven't we? Haven't we been more doubtful, when you really think about it, than we ought to be in our giving? We have been more doubtful. And one of the places where that really comes up, and I think the part that is a giant leap forward that the Lord wants to make with us, is in the alms department, of actually looking upon and considering what's going on with your brother. To really pay attention and know what's going on. Things that will be a particular and peculiar blessing to that person. And think about them. And if you have the ability to take care of that, praise God to do so. To really look at that. And on the offering side, let me tell you something. What we've gotten done thus far, we got a long way to go out here. We got a long way to go. We got a lot of different things to do out here. I've been laying out to folks here, and I'll lay it out maybe on Sunday night or something like that, some of the things that the Lord's put on my heart to do that Davey and I had chatted about. I know there are things, some of them we're going to be doing. He had wanted to do for over 25 years, probably over 40 years. We're going to do them. We're going to do them. You're going to see out here a place where people can come and get intensive training to go into the ministry and be fully equipped. You're going to see things out here. You're going to see bunkhouses out here that are full. You're going to see a rec room over here where people can fellowship. You're going to see a campground over here where people, believing, unbelieving, whatever, can come out to. And we can work with and interact with folks. You're going to see a fruitful place out here. You're going to see these things come to pass. And as these things come to pass, it's going to be nothing short of a miracle. It's not going to be because we're good, because of anything like that, but because our God is good. Our God is good. And what's going to make up the difference is His Holy Ghost power in everything. It's what's going to transform this landscape. But we got to start turning our eyes on Him and what He can do and stop looking at things from the standpoint of what we can do. And the financial front's a big area that way. And people are going to have to step up in their offerings. And people are going to have to step up in their alms. And I'm going to read one other thing to you, and we'll quit here. It's going to be out of Deuteronomy 28. And I'm not going to read the cursing part. I'm going to read you the blessing part of Deuteronomy 28. The cursing part goes to those who, for example, don't do what the Lord says. And particularly, those who don't tithe, he talks about how over in Malachi, how you rob God, where? In your tithes and offerings. But in Deuteronomy 28 at the beginning, I want to show you a life that's the life that he has for us. And it shall come to pass if, little word, big meaning, if, so this is our part, thou, that means you all, shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. So, for example, when we have Sunday night discipleship meetings about what we've heard, and I ask, what did you get out of the meeting this morning? I don't remember. That is not hearkening diligently, folks. That is not hearkening diligently. That is pitiful. It is completely 100% pure, unacceptable. It is not going to be tolerated anymore. Most importantly, it should never be tolerated by you. It should absolutely never be tolerated by you. These things you should put before your eyes. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. By the way, Jesus is the voice of the Lord thy God. He was the voice that was walking in the garden over there with Adam and Eve. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So see, love, you can even be blessed in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. We need that one. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body. Children are going to come out right. And the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. these are all going to be blessed. You guys want that? I do. I want these things to be blessed. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So when we bring the basket from the garden, it's going to be blessed, and Maggie's going to turn it into something yummy. And when we put it into the pantry, or we freeze dry it, or we stick it in the freezer, you know what's going to happen? When we pull it out, it's going to be blessed. We're going to enjoy it. Praise God. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies. I like this part. Watch this one. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. I like that one. Anybody like their enemies to flee? See, as an attorney, one of the things, and I struggle to operate in this a lot, the truth be told, because I know me and I look at myself and I don't think of myself this way. But when I was standing in the right place, it was amazing how the Lord would cause people to fear me out there in the practice. I didn't know it, because I didn't think of myself as being anything. But when I was operating in the right place and I did it, it was amazing how I'd get people to do things that nobody else could get them to do. Why? Because they were terrified that if they didn't do something that was going to be pleasing to me, they were really going to get it bad. So they were like, okay, we'll do that. Yes, we'll settle it for that. Yes, oh no, he can have that. Oh yeah, no, we'll do that. It's great. That's what it's talking about in your daily life. All right. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The land, the Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see, they shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Now, let me show you something. Elijah, when the king came out to arrest him, was he above or was he beneath? Did they flee or did he flee? They didn't even get a chance to flee. The fire burned them up. Okay, these guys who went after the apostles in the early church there, how did their lives turn out, the ones who went after them? Not well. One of the things you'll notice if you look over in the book of Acts, you'll see turnover in that chief priest. You'll see turnover in the people who are the rulers and everything of Israel. Why? Because judgment was fallen. Judgment was falling as people came against his people, and they began to fear them. Why do you think Paul and those guys could even go into the temple years later? It's because they were too afraid to kick the disciples out. See, what I want you to see is that when we walk in this power, we can go anywhere in Christ Jesus, and we are above only. The authorities and the like will be terrified of you. Not because you're coming to destroy them or do anything like that, because we're not here to go and destroy these people. We're here to share the gospel. But they're afraid to touch us. Why? Because God is with us and they can see it. So look, that's the end of doing what he says financially. You get into the finances, which is something like that. You get rid of those doubtful stuff. You get rid of that. You cast it down and you stand by faith and you choose to believe God and you walk in that and you pray and you look at every situation you got. Lord, I got $10. I need $25 to pay for this thing. How am I going to do that? Please help me. Help me. You look to him. You look to him. You keep looking to him. What can I do for you, Lord? How can I serve you, Lord? How can I do this? And you go that way, and the Lord will bless you mightily, and he will raise you up, and you will have no fear, but rather you will go and preach his word in boldness. And that's what we're going to do. That is what we're going to do. I am not going to accept anything less than that. I hope you won't. I like that. I'm excited for that, folks. May the Lord bless you guys. I know I ran over a little bit. We're going to sing a few more songs. And let's determine. Let's go forward. Let us win. Let's not accept doubt any longer in our lives on anything. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Father, that power of the resurrection, that mighty power of the resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, may it come in and among each and every one who is here who asks for it into their heart right now. And may we go forward, no longer doubting, but go forward in anticipation and in faith in the sufficiency of what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.